Our subject is counsel for today. And regardless of what the prophecies are, number one for you and for me is to develop our Christian character. That still has to come first. But now, as it is prophesied, this world is continuing to deteriorate. But what should we do about it, and how should we do it now? If the screen sharing can be done at the convention, we want slide number 2. I will briefly try to discuss it, that it comes from Joshua chapter 6. Joshua at Jericho. And we'll recall that Joshua rises early on the first day. And then for 7 days, the priests, the 7 priests with the 7 trumpets, march around the city each of those 7 days. And that would suggest for us that Joshua rose early, Jesus at his resurrection rises early, and then the gospel age is divided into 7 periods of time. That's represented by the 7 days the trumpeters march around Jericho with the army. Then, on the last day, it begins with they rose early. That is, at Christ's return, the sleeping saints, those that have finished their courses already in death, are resurrected. And then follows 7 times around Jericho on the last day. The last day? Well, there are expressions, 2 different expressions used in the New Testament. The last days, plural, and the last day, singular. The last days, plural, covers the gospel age. The last day, singular, is the one that often has the resurrection connected to it. But that would be representing the last day that begins with our Lord's return and the resurrection of the sleeping saints and the return of Israel to their land. So, on the last time, around the city on the last day, the wall comes tumbling down. And this would represent for us the final fall of Babylon. Not just a declaration of the moral fall, but the actual physical fall would come in Armageddon. So again, that lesson is that Christ returns, raises the sleeping saints, and begins the 7 last plagues, bringing down Babylon. If you are able to bring up the slides at the convention, which I am not allowed to do, it says here, because it says host disabled participant screen sharing. So in the next slide, that would be slide number 3, Exodus 7 last plagues, outline the last day. Now, somebody might ask, how about the first 3 plagues? And that's peripheral to what we have in mind for today. But I will suggest, and there are others who have the same or different thoughts, that those 3 initial plagues that fall equally on the Egyptians and the Israelites, that would be the fall of Rome, the Reformation, and the French Revolution. But that is not our subject for today. But we have the 7 last plagues from Exodus 7:14 to into the middle of chapter 15, verse 22a. That makes it one of the 2 longest types in the entire Bible. Now, with the 7 last plagues, it begins with Moses coming to Egypt. Then, well, I should say the 10 plagues begin with Moses coming to Egypt. The 10 plagues follow until the Israelites are delivered from Pharaoh's rule, and that will be by the kingdom. It corresponds to Jesus' first advent, begins the gospel age, then 10 plagues span the gospel age, and Satan's rule ends at Armageddon and the millennium. Okay, now we can go two more slides, if we may. Flip to the next slide, if you will. Okay, and there we are. Thank you. So, and okay, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, but let's leave it there for now. Because after the plagues are finished and we're into the kingdom age, then there are 3 days to get to the sea. And that would suggest for us the millennial kingdom. Then Pharaoh pursues after them the 3 days to serve the Lord. That's the 3 days in which the Lord's people are to serve the Lord. That's the millennium. Then Pharaoh pursues after them, showing us the little season, Satan's little season, or short time. And that's day 4. And then we have the last 3 days to finish the 7 days of the feast of, that would be feast of Passover, which bring us then into the perfect ages of eternity. So, what happens when Moses comes to Egypt, those first 3 plagues that we mentioned, and then Moses starts to take the dominant role. It's no longer saying to Aaron, do this or do that. But now it's a case of the peoples are separated, because at Christ's return, the call goes out, come out of her, my people, that she be not partakers of her sins. That should be our motivation. And that you receive not of her plagues, which would be the 7 last plagues. Now, so, Christ's second advent calls us out of Babylon, but how do the last 7 plagues align with the major world events? And for that, let us go on to the next slide. Thank you. Now, we'll notice that those 7 last plagues in the Exodus represent a plague of flies. 2, murrain kills the cattle of the Egyptians. 3, blains on man and beast in Egypt. 4, hail comes with thunder and lightning and fire running along the ground, and it kills the barley crops that have come up, not the wheat crops, because they have not yet come up. But then plague number 5, the locusts come and kill the wheat crops also. I just mentioned that after the Egyptian barley crops have been destroyed and the Egyptian wheat crops have been destroyed, where are they going to get their barley from and their wheat? Well, they have to come to the Israelites, of course. And what happens to the price of the crops? Of course, they go up. So what's been bad for the Egyptians has been good, even economically good, for the Israelites. Then we come to plague number 6, which is a plague of darkness for 3 days. Finally, plague number 7, the last plague of the 7 last plagues, when the Egyptian firstborn die, but the firstborn of the Israelites are delivered. That would suggest that when the church is complete and raised in heaven, that is the time when the Egyptian firstborn die, the heirs of Satan's kingdom no longer have a kingdom to inherit. Now, of these 7 last plagues, we see that some of them are destructive and some of them are not. So, let's note that the plague of flies is non-destructive, but it's sorrowful. The second one, murrain killing the cattle, that certainly is deadly and destructive. The blains on man and beast are painful, but not killing people. Plague number four, hail kills the barley crops. Five, locusts kill the wheat crops. Both of those are destructive plagues. I've tried to signify that with these little bombs here in red. Then the plague of darkness for 3 days, that no man could move from his place for 3 days. That's certainly a sorrow, but it isn't deadly. Now, the last plague, the firstborn of the Egyptians, that certainly is damaging, destructive, and deadly. Let's line these up and see how they align with the major worldwide calamities that we have experienced and will. Now, when we come to the Long Depression of the 1870s on, that really is the first truly worldwide calamity since the plague of Noah, the flood of Noah. About the only thing that even comes close might be the Black Plague of, I think it was 1347, 1348, that area. But at that time, they didn't have the worldwide transportation. It took the worldwide transportation for the Long Depression to become a truly worldwide event, a calamity to be sure. Now, the Depression was not deadly, but the next one after it, World War I, was certainly deadly, aligns well with murrain killing the cattle. Now, the Great Depression was not deadly as such. True, there were some wealthy people who lost everything and committed suicide, but it wasn't because they were killed by others. It certainly was a sorrowful thing and could correspond to the blains on man and beast. World War II was certainly deadly. It can hook up well with hail that killed the barley crops. The hail with lightning and thunder and fire that ran along upon the ground. Those who were underneath the bombs being dropped could certainly appreciate that, couldn't they? The next plague was a plague of the locusts. They were brought in by an east wind. They destroyed the wheat crops that had now come up. And finally, they were destroyed. They were driven out by a mighty west wind. So there remained not one locust in all the borders of Egypt. And that would seem to align with the east versus west communist problem. It was the Eastern powers that brought communism into as a threat to all of the West, even into the Americas, North and South. But in time, there was the collapse of the Soviet Union. I might add that that probably was caused in large part in North America, where they were developing not only the weapons, the missiles, intercontinental ballistic missiles with nuclear warheads, but also by what was called the Star Wars program in order to shoot down incoming missiles, which really frightened the East. And eventually, the East could not keep up with the spending of the West, and the East collapsed. So that would seem reasonable that the east wind bringing locusts into Egypt and then the west wind driving them all out again to the point where few people even would want to admit to having been communists. But what has followed after that? There are various terms for it. Some call it the pandemic, some call it the plandemic, some call it the panicdemic, whatever. And what would it correspond to? the darkness for 3 days so that no man could move from his place? Well, with the coming of the COVID pandemic, the international boundaries were shut down for just over 2 years, depending on which countries we're talking about, between 2 years and 3 years. And I was quite impressed in the year 2022 when Brother Israel Logi in South Africa said that in 2022, the pandemic was all over with for them. They could travel freely now. Maybe mention a bit about that tomorrow. So, can it be that this is what we get? Now, I would not have predicted that it would be a biological problem, a biological trigger. Now, why might depression be suggested? That is because in the Revelation plague, the river Euphrates is dried up. It is upon the river Euphrates that Babylon depended upon for its commerce, for its well-being, for its economy. And if the river were dried up, that would suggest a deep depression. However, it is not the 3 days of darkness that necessarily would imply a depression, but 3 days of frozen travel. And it does appear that it lasted for at least parts of 3 years, maybe in some places a full 3 years. So that seems to line up fairly well. But now I have some confessions to make. In connection with plague number 5, back in the 1960s, even the late 1950s, I thought that the collapse of the Eastern powers would be as a result of World War III. But it was not a World War III. It was local revolutions in each of the countries. So I admit at the time, back in the 1960 era, I didn't see how something so strong as the Soviet Union could fall. But I was talking with a professor who had left the Soviet Union. This was back in the 1970s. And he said that things are going to change. They have to change. And sure enough, he was right that the Eastern Bloc did collapse and the communism was put out in an awful lot of those countries. Now, how about the plague of darkness? I did not foresee that the trigger would be a pandemic, but that is apparently what has happened. Could I make a misunderstanding that it will trigger a depression in a few of the coming years? I could be. There is a possibility that because what it did was to destroy small business. And you know what happens when the truckers go on strike, and what happens when the government shuts down the truckers, and when some of them are forced out of business? Naturally, your cost of living goes up. Food, clothing, other things that you want, that it's not so much that the prices are going up, is that the worth of money is going down. So, the last plague, I think we will all agree on, that will be Armageddon, when the collapse of this world comes and there will be nothing more for the heirs of this world to inherit. Now, it does appear that the worldwide calamities that we have observed thus far align very well with the seven last plagues of the Exodus. Suppose you were to postpone Christ's return to 1914. Now, J.F. Rutherford did that. I think we can see that the alignment goes away. With Christ's return as late as World War I, and we no longer have it beginning with a long depression or something else which is non-destructive. So that would imply that the plague of the flies considerably precedes 1914. I think a first visual evidence would be in 1878, November the 3rd, when foreign Jews reached Petah Tikva, the first new Jewish community reestablished in Palestine, now Israel. And although it was almost immediately abandoned within a year or two because of the malaria, nevertheless, they brought in the chemicals to destroy the mosquitoes, and now it is the fifth largest city in all of Israel and very close to being the fourth largest. So I would suggest that the seven last plagues in Exodus align very well with our seven worldwide calamities. In a moment, we want to talk about what we should do about it. But first, I will just simply mention the Exodus plagues show for us the major worldwide events. However, the Revelation plagues show us the effects those events are to have on Babylon. And I will also suggest that these seven worldwide calamities also each contribute one major step towards the restoration of Israel to their land. So far, what has been beneficial to Israel has been destructive to this world. I think now we can go on to the next slide. That would be the one labeled Directions During the Harvest. This would be the right one. If we look back, the brethren in early times, when the call was going out, come out of her, my people, when they were anticipating 1914, what was the logical thing for them to do? And that would be to emphasize the public witness work. And it was good that they did. But because while 1914 didn't come an end at all, nevertheless, the opportunities to witness worldwide were certainly damaged, and they've never fully recovered from the call porter work, public meetings, the photodrama of creation. These were all emphasized going into 1914. So I think they did the right thing and simply had to discover that what they understood was the meaning of 1914 wasn't precisely what happened. It began World War I. It just didn't end the church. Now, after Brother Russell died, the call continued, come out of Babylon number two, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins. Now, after World War I, several thought public witness should stop. It would be morally wrong, they thought, to invite somebody into a high calling that was already closed. Well, with nothing to offer the people, is it a small wonder that the Standfast movement died out? They were heavily concentrated in the Pacific Northwest, not in the prairies. But how about us today? Is there a temptation to go back to the Gnostic idea that salvation is by knowledge? No, salvation is by Jesus Christ. Knowledge can help us. We can use it in two ways: to develop our Christian character and to direct our Christian activities. But it is still not the goal. It is the means to the end, and the end in itself is ransom and restitution. Now, to avoid the Gnosticism in our own time, saying we have the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, we should distinguish doctrines that tell us what to do from those that don't have any particular application in our lives, that represent something that is intellectual rather than something that directs our Christian activity. So I realize our time is running a little low, so we may go on to the next slide, please. The one that says, is plague number 6 the COVID pandemic? Well, we'll recall that the Exodus plague number 6 was darkness, and remind ourselves, no one could leave from his place for 3 days. We can talk about the effect of the volcano Thera and how it caused it literally, but that's not our subject for today. The COVID-19 pandemic mostly closed the international borders for 3 years. More than 2 years, probably not more than 3 years anywhere. So now we have further influences. As I mentioned, it damaged small business to the benefit of big business. Now, why is that a problem? Small businesses are the ones that create jobs. Big business are the ones that absorb small businesses and reduce jobs to do it more efficiently. The effect pushed small farms to sell out to big farms. That's especially true in the States. It gave more power to the government. That doesn't sound good, does it? It shut down churches and synagogues, but it didn't shut down the mosques. Didn't shut down the bars either. So do you think that the current goal of the God of this world is to take down the West? I would suggest that's something well worth watching. Now, as I mentioned, in Revelation 16:12 and forward, plague number 6 shows the river Euphrates drying up. Was it fulfilled in a pandemic recession? Or will it be in a deep depression? So if the latter, what should we expect? What should we do? And for that, let us go to the last slide, Christian counsel for the 21st century. If a deep depression is coming, 2 bits of advice. Get out of debt and stay out of debt. Some brethren have done this already and have been glad, they say, that they have done so. Get out of debt and stay out of debt. Let's not let people blame Christ for our short-sightedness. Now, let us keep in mind, too, unity is not uniformity. One brother said, when they all think alike, it's because only one of them's doing the thinking. Unity is not uniformity, but it results from pursuing a common goal. What should be our common goal? Well, certainly it would be to develop our Christian character. And second, we demonstrate this by preaching Christ and his coming kingdom. And do we notice how there's a big bandwagon building up in the States and Canada and Europe and other places against Israel, against Jews as a whole? Remember, when the bandwagon is against Israel and gaining steam, just stay off the bandwagon. That is counsel for our own time, more than at any time before, worldwide. And lastly, let's practice mercy towards others, towards the whole world. That's the thing that people are going to remember. They will remember our example more than they will remember our words. And for that, I think I'm out of time. It's a blessing to be with you, brethren. I miss being with you in person. I'm glad for the opportunities that I had. And may God bless you. My traveling days are over, but my heart is still traveling with you.